From time to time, pastors will ask us, how do you keep growing larger but keep relational at the same time? There's a lot of things that you have to do for that. One of them is our series in the summer where pastors travel around and speak. We're larger as a church, but it seems smaller because there are family representatives who are teaching the Word of God. So you're not just getting a sermon, you're getting a friend, a family that represents us in another city. With that in mind, who's gonna represent us as a family member this weekend? Matt Mosler. We all love him. He works really hard for all of us in Pine Bluff. What a great church New Life has there. Recently, I spent a day with Matt looking around. This brother is in love with God, and I'm so thankful that New Life Church has a campus in Pine Bluff. Would all of you welcome our friend, Matt Mosler.
Man, listen, I love that guy. I love it. How many of y'all love Pastor Rick? The more you get to know him, the more you realize he's a great big knucklehead. But that guy, he's so authentic. He loves this. That's why I love this church, y'all. This church is all coming out of this vision that Pastor Rick had for the state of Arkansas. And the cool thing is, no matter how many churches I go to, and I've been to Fort Smith, to Heber, to Hot Springs, all over the place, every time I walk into a New Life church, I feel like I'm at home. You know, it's just this great feeling where you feel like you're among friends, you're among family, you're home. And this has been the vision of Pastor Rick, a vision that he's had ever since he was rescued from the state of Louisiana. I mean, ever since then. And so it is wonderful to be in Little Rock. We are a family. My wife and I are those crazy cousins who wanted to move to Pine Bluff. And we love Pine Bluff. We love pastoring that campus. We love those people. And I want to tell you, the state of Pine Bluff is good right now. In fact, at this very moment, and I wish I had a picture to show you, but they're too busy to send me a picture, they're packing sandbags. So we're not just doing church, we're being church. And I tell you, this flood, we're praying for this flood. I personally believe this is going to be a non-event. We're going to have some issues going on with some of this flood, but in Pine Bluff, the levees are going to hold, and we're going to have an opportunity just to love on people through all the cleanup efforts. But other than that, it's just going to be a non-event, y'all, and we're just going to praise God for it. So that was a very weak round of applause, but thank you. How many of you guys know Pine Bluff has a little bit of image problem?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Andrew said yes. Got a little bit of an image problem. So I want to tell you, the first night I spent in Pine Bluff, this is no joke. We bought a house in Pine Bluff. And by the way, my son and his wife moved to Pine Bluff. And something interesting has happened to me since the last time I was there. This. Yeah. So that is not my baby. If I had a baby, I'm suing my doctor for child support. That right there is a grandbaby. And by the way, I am not peapod, doo doo, do do dee. I am granddad. All right? People ask, what's your granddad name? How about granddad? We're going to keep all your stinky boys away from that. My children weren't that pretty. I mean, love these grandbabies. But listen, the first night we spent in Pine Bluff, we bought the house in the middle of Pine Bluff. My son and his wife moved there. My daughter just moved to Pine Bluff to run our little life. It's a great town. We love it. But the first night I moved there, man, the first night I had an opportunity to spend in my house, I slept with one eye open and a shotgun right next to my bed. I'm not kidding, because that's the image we have of Pine Bluff, because I just knew that any moment someone's going to break in my house and cause a ruckus, right? I sleep like a baby now. Because the image we have of Pine Bluff is not the reality that is Pine Bluff. And this is a great tent. And I want to thank you guys for all you're doing to help us do church there. Let me share with you a couple of things that's going on down there. Number one, we're trying to bring baseball back to Pine Bluff. So we're going to all these old dilapidated baseball fields and we're redoing. And we hope, instead of a VBS, we do a baseball camp. And then next year, we're hoping to start a baseball league in Pine Bluff to get some of these kids out there, to get families back together. So we're working on that. We're also helping out the city do some relief. And, oh, thank you. It's like a 3 or 4 second delay, you know. I feel like I'm in Afghanistan, you know. The signal takes me. So we're also helping the city with relief efforts with this flood thing. But here's the thing I really wanted to tell you about. It's this program called Home Again Pine Bluff. Now, we believe that there are two big problems going on in Pine Bluff. The two big issues in this community are, and it's not just Pine Bluff, it's all throughout the Delta. The two big issues are the dissolution of the family and the lack of hope. So everything we do as a church is centered around those two things, to help rebuild the family and help rebuild hope. So one of the things that we hit upon was, we're going to take some of these old dilapidated homes that are all across the city. We're going to tear them down to the studs, and we're going to rebuild them from the ground up. And then we're going to rent them to families in our church and our community who are making the effort to move from poverty to self-sufficiency. So they're going to have to take parenting classes, they're going to have to take financial education classes and spiritual education classes. And once they get through this, after 3 to 5 years, we will sell them this house for $25,000 or half of its appraised value. So if they do all the work that they're supposed to do, they can go from poverty to having $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in equity in a home. But that's not all. We're also, of the $450 rent or so that we charge, we'll take $50 of that and put it into their savings account. And then we build incentives into the savings account. So if your kids get perfect attendance, if they make the honor roll, if you volunteer in the community, if you get involved, if you whatever, we're going to add money to your savings account. So by the time you get that house, not only do you have equity, but you also have some money in savings. But that's not all. One final thing. We're not just doing one house on a street. We're going to do like 3 or 4 or 5, 6 houses. The current street we're working on, we're going to try to get 4 or 5 houses on this street. So we will surround you with community. We surround you with relationship. Guys, this is a value of New Life Church. Relationships are our secret weapon. So we surround you with people that are pursuing God, that are pursuing hope. You've just changed the culture. Thank you, New Life Church, for helping to pour into the Arkansas God season, helping us do this. So we moved to Pine Bluff in April of 2017, or at least we bought a house there in April of 2017. The goal was to get this house ready. We could start doing church in our house before we had the grand opening in September, because we were, you know, like when we started the Fayetteville campus, you had hundreds of people move to Fayetteville to get that campus started. We didn't have anybody want to move to Pine Bluff. So we're having to start this thing like one family at a time. And so that was our goal. The problem was, when we get into this house, we ran into a few problems. One of those problems was that we discovered that Pine Bluff actually is about 100 foot, 200 feet above sea level. And I'm convinced that Pine Bluff wants to be part of the sea again, because it just hangs on, doesn't want to let go of water. Water drains really slowly. As a result of this, the kitchen in our house had sunk down about 4 or 5 inches. Right? The previous homeowners knew this, but instead of shoring up the foundation, they just recased the doors. So it was like walking in one of those fun houses where everything's kind of at an angle, you know? Well, we wanted to fix the foundation, so we call some foundation guys. They get down there. All you got to do is just, you know, we did it at our house in Sherwood before we moved. You just jack it up, shim up the piers, and, you know, you're good to go. So they get down there, we have the kitchen floor open, they jump down, they look at the piers, and the piers are standing in water. So you know what they did? They packed up all their tools, and they went home. And my wife, you should have seen the look on my wife's face. She thought we just bought the Tom Hanks money pit, you know? It was like, oh my God. So we call this with a structural engineer. He gets out there, he looks at the house, he says, man, it's okay, all of these cracks in this home, they're old cracks, it's been around 20 years or so. All I got to do is just drive down some steel pilings until you hit bedrock, and then you can jack the house up, you'll be good to go. So they did that. They came back, drove down the steel pilings. They had to go down 16 feet to find bedrock, but they found it. And we got it jacked up, and that house is beautiful now. But let me tell you something. Had we not done that, it didn't matter how nicely we redecorated or we repainted or we respackled or whatever we did, had we not shored up the foundation, everything else would have cracked. Because the problem's not the cracks. The problem is the shifting foundation. And folks, if you look around our culture right now, we got a lot of cracks popping up. You know, we got cracks in our foundation all over the place. We got cracks in our families. We got cracks among the races. We got cracks among the classes. We got cracks popping up in our marriages and our relationships and our politics and our economy. There's cracks popping up all over the place. And we have spent an awful lot of time and money over the last few decades trying to patch up these cracks, especially during an election year. But you know what happens? Those cracks will eventually reappear. Because the problem is not the cracks in our culture. The problem is the shifting foundation. And so this morning, as we continue in this series called Parables, I want to talk about foundations by looking at the parable that Jesus told about two men who wanted to build a house. And you can find this story in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. So let me read it for you. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine, how many people are everyone? Everyone. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it slammed against the house, but it didn't fall because it was founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, a lot of you guys have heard this story before, but I want to point out a couple of things that maybe you haven't noticed about these two guys. So what I want to do this morning is take a look at their similarities and then take a look at their differences. And the first thing I want you to notice about these two guys, the first thing that these two guys have in common is that they are both guys, all right? And you can't overlook this. The passage says that this parable is for everyone who hears the word of God, but it is specifically targeting to men. Why? Because as men go, so goes the culture. As men go, so goes the family. When Eve took a bite of that fruit, God walked into the garden, didn't come looking for Eve, came looking for Adam, said, Adam, where are you? Because Adam was not only responsible for Eve, he was held accountable. As men go, so goes the culture. And you go to my culture where I live right now, and you can see this truth very clearly. And you know, let me tell you something. This is what I love about this church as well. If you go to just about any New Life church around this state, what you are going to find is just about as many men in church as there are women. And you don't see that in a lot of churches. Now, one of the truths is that we have a lot better looking women in our church. Because if there weren't women, there would be no men in heaven. Can I get a witness? All right. So, but the other truth is that New Life Church understands this fact that we have to reach the men, which is why we started a monthly men's breakfast in Pine Bluff. We want to get men in fellowship together. We had a men's breakfast yesterday morning. We had a speaker come from our downtown Little Rock campus to tell us about a fishing ministry they're doing downtown, and we are stealing that ministry. Because it's a good one, and that's what we do in New Life, was we steal each other's stuff. Listen, we know that we can't reach Pine Bluff unless we restore the family. But we can't restore the family without reaching the men. And that's why it's important that you understand the story is about these two guys. So fellas, I'm talking to you this morning. The other thing I want you to notice about these two guys, what they had in common was that both of these men shared a dream. These men shared a dream to build a house. They wanted to build. Men like to build stuff. That's what we do. We can't have babies. We can't create anything, so we build things. And when I was like, I'll never forget, when I was a little kid growing up in California, my dad built our color television set. I mean, he built it. Anybody remember this company called Bell & Howell? And you could order the parts, the kits, and so it came to the house, and his office smelled like a soldering iron for about 3 months as he's putting all these little boards together, and he eventually built a color television set. But in not just the television set, you know what else he built? A remote control. Because at that time, every family in America had a remote control. It was called Children, but my dad wanted an electronic one, so he built one. But not just that, he also built a Pong game. Anybody remember Pong? I know you gamers out there like to game. You would not be able to game unless 30, 50, 40, 50 years ago, there wasn't this game where it went boop, boop, boop. I was the hit of the neighborhood because my dad wanted to build something. He wanted to build a television set. Listen to me. Every man in this room needs to have a vision. Every man in this room needs to have a dream. The Bible says young men will dream, will see visions of what they want to build. Old men will dream dreams of what they have built. The worst thing we can have in our culture is a visionless male. A man walking around this world with no goals, no dreams, no vision, no direction. Why? Because as he goes, so goes the culture. So fellas, let me ask you something. What is your vision? What is your dream? If you can't come up with your vision or your dream just like that, you need to ask God for it. I'm going to promise you, God is going to give it to you. Then you need to have the courage to step into it. And these two men shared a vision to build a house. Now, in the Bible, you got to understand that the word house actually has four different meanings. And one of the meanings for the word house is a life. In 2 Samuel, King David sits before the Lord and he asks, "What is my house that you have brought me this far? What is my house? What is my life? What is my foundation?" Every man wants to build a life of substance, a life of significance, a life of value. And a man of God should desire to accomplish something with their lives, not just take up space. We want to build a legacy. We want to build a life that matters. And one of the meanings of the word house is to build a life. Another meaning of the word house is a family. David's family in the Bible was called the house of David. And listen to me, no real man, no serious man ever walks down this aisle thinking he's going to get divorced or he's going to abandon his children. We want to build a house and a home and a future and have kids who can be mature, responsible adults, especially girls, because boys will put you in a nursing home, but girls will take care of their daddies. Just keep trying for girls. Listen, the Bible says this. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, to his grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. Another definition, another meaning of the word house is not just a life or a family, but it's a ministry. The temple of God in the Old Testament was referred to as the house of God. In the New Testament, we are called the household of faith. We have all been called to be a kingdom of priests, and every man in this room should want to build their house, build their church, build their ministry, impact the spiritual development of their own family as well as the family of God. And the fourth meaning of the word house is a society. The nation of Israel was referred to as the house of Israel. And we each should desire to build or impact our society in a way that benefits everybody, which means, guys, we got to coach. We got to teach. We got to get involved. We got to get involved and serve in our culture. We need to build a house. So every man should desire a life of significance, a family that is strong, a ministry that is effective, and a culture that is well-ordered. Now, another similarity, not only did both of these guys have a dream, but both of these guys also went to the same church. The Bible says both of these men heard these words of mine. Both of these fellas heard the words of Jesus. And if they heard the words of Jesus coming from the mouth of Jesus, it was the perfect sermon about Jesus. Right? So they were not just listening to some crackpot preacher talk about the gospel. You know, those guys with the big bouffant hair, you know, and the hankies, because we all know hair is highly overrated. These guys were listening to the living word preach the written word, and there is no better word than that. Can I get an amen? Because in Pine Bluff, that would have got a shout. Just throwing that out there, all right? Both of these guys went to the same church. Both of these fellas also lived in the same neighborhood. The Bible says the storm, the same storm hit them both. They were living in the same place, and in that town and in that culture, both of these fellows experienced a storm. And a storm in the Bible is an adverse set of circumstances. So both of these guys have a dream. Both of these guys went to the same church, and both of these fellows experienced some struggles. So what is the difference between them? Well, the Bible says one of them is a wise man and one of them is a fool. Now, what that should tell you is that a wise man can have a dream and a fool can have a dream. A wise man can go to church and hear the word of God, and a fool can go to church and hear the word of God. A wise man can get impacted by storms just as much as a fool gets impacted by storms. So, how do we know which of them was wise and which of them was a fool? Their foundation. Because the Bible says that one of these dudes built his house on the sand and the other guy put it on the rock. Now, the biggest difference, or one of the biggest differences I've noticed since moving from Central Arkansas down to the Delta, is that, you know, a post-hole digger goes down in that soft Delta sand and mud a lot easier than it does here in Central Arkansas. We hit nothing but rock here, and then we cuss our wives. But down there, the post-hole digger goes in, we can get some work done. If you want your house to stand up against storms, though, you're going to have to dig down pretty deep. You're going to have to dig down deep enough to find something solid upon which to build your foundation. You might even have to go 16 feet down into the ground. And one of these guys was willing to do what it took to build a strong foundation. The other guy, he wanted to get that house up pretty quickly. You might have big dreams for your life and for your family and for your ministry and for your culture. But your foundation better be worthy of the house that you are dreaming to put on top of it. Now, let me tell you, there's a building out in San Francisco. It's called the Millennium Tower. The building is 58 stories tall. It's a skyscraper. That's it right there in the left, big shiny thing. The rooms in that thing were going for $1 million. It's a beautiful building. The problem is that since they built this bad boy in 2008, it has sunk 17 inches. And it has started to lean 14 inches. Now, the reason the builders only went down 80 feet into the packed sand rather than 200 feet down into the bedrock. Guys, a lot of us have great big skyscraper dreams for our lives, for our families, for our ministries, for our culture. But you cannot put a skyscraper on a sandcastle foundation. And a lot of us want God to do big things in our life, and we're praying for God to do big things in our life, but we're not willing to do our due diligence. And the Word says this: it is pleasant to see dreams come true. Amen. We love to see dreams come true, but fools refuse to turn from evil to attain them. Now, don't get hung up on that word evil. In the Bible, the word evil means doing things your way, not God's way. So we want to see dreams come true, but we refuse to do things His way. So you got these two fellas, both got big dreams to build a house. They're both coming from the same neighborhood, both going to the same church. But one of them was a wise man and one of them was a fool. Which one are you? How do you know which one was a wise man, which one was a fool? What makes you a wise man and what makes you a fool? Well, let me tell you, a wise man acts upon the word of God. Here's what the word says. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. And if you want to build a life or a home or a ministry or a society, listen to me, your foundation cannot merely be built on information. Because God's word does not work just because you heard it preached. God's word is not going to work just because you got excited about what you heard preached. It is not going to work just because you read about it. It is not going to work just because you tweeted about it. It's not going to work because you put a pretty picture on Instagram about it or you raised your hands in church about it. Just because you agree with this word doesn't mean it's going to work. You only know that you are a wise person or a fool not by how much scripture you can quote, but by the decisions that you make. And this word means absolutely, it's just paper and ink, y'all, until you read it and make it a part of you and apply it, unless you take this word and apply it to real life situations. Right? So another thing that distinguishes a wise man from a fool, not only does he act on the word, he doesn't compromise the word. Because see, when we think about building a house, we know we're supposed to build our house on the rock because we remember the song. Right? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man. All right, so there's a song goes just like that. And we know we want to build our house on the rock, but the problem is we sure do know a lot about how we think a house ought to be built. God's word is the rock. Our word is the sand. And we're going to listen to our parents and our friends and our culture and our media, and all of these outside influences are telling us the best way to build a house. So what we end up doing is we try to mix rock with sand. And here's the problem with that. When you try to bring in your human wisdom to God's divine revelation, God cancels the whole thing. I mean, Jesus said it like this. you cancel out the Word of God for the sake of your own tradition. Now, what that means is a lot of us are canceling out the very thing we want by bringing our point of view into the equation. And when you want your foundation to be both rock and sand, the Bible calls that being double-minded. And the result of being double-minded is not very good. It says right here in James, such people who want to do things both their way and God's way should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You're mixing rock and sand, but you're praying for God to bless. Don't expect to receive anything from the Lord because your loyalty is divided between God's way and your way. And if you're thinking like that, you are unstable in all of your ways, and your foundation is going to sink, and your walls and your house is going to crack. A wise man doesn't compromise the Word. A wise man anchors his house on the Word. The Bible says this, the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it slammed against the house, and the house fell down, and great was its fall. You know, both of these houses look pretty good on the outside. I mean, everything looked great. Their life looked good. Their family looked happy. Their ministry looked healthy. The culture was rolling along, and everything looked like a Facebook post until the storm came. And what the storm did is it revealed the truth. But understand me, this was not just some little summer shower, right? This was not just some little spritz. Listen to what the Word says. It says the rain came down, and the flood came up, and a wind blew against a house strong enough to knock it down. You know what that is? That's a hurricane. This is what happens when all hell breaks loose in your life. Not when you encounter something, not when you stub your toe, but when everything that could go wrong does go wrong. Your marriage is in shambles. Your career is down the drain. A flood comes up into your neighborhood. When all hell breaks loose in your life, and listen to me, if you are alive, you are going to go through one of these storms. It is going to hit us all. Even if you are wise, you're going to get hit by a storm because the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. God, following God does not remove you from the possibility you're going to get hit by a storm. It's going to help you get through the storm. And a great illustration of this is found in the book of Mark, chapter 4. Now, you ain't got to flip there. I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version because I'm looking at the clock and don't have much time left. Now, in Mark, chapter 4, in this case, Jesus has just wrapped up a sermon. And in this sermon, he's used three or four parables to talk about the kingdom of God. Then he and his boys get into a boat and they head out to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Well, a short time later, big storm comes up. All right? There's a big storm. Now, you got to remember, most of these disciples are fishermen. They grew up on the Sea of Galilee. They've been out there in storms, but this was a big one. And these guys think they're about to die. They think this is it. We are not going to make it to the other side. Oh, Lord, where are you? He's in the front of the boat, asleep on a pillow. Now, you know what that means? That means Jesus didn't just accidentally nod off. That means he meant to go to sleep. That means the brother grabbed a pillow and laid down and said, I'll see you on the other side, right? And these disciples are like, we're going to die. Rabbi, don't you care that we're perishing? You asleep, brother. Don't we do the same thing? Don't we do the same thing? I mean, we say amen in church, but when the storm hits, where are you, God? Don't you see me? Can't you see my life falling apart? Why did you allow something like this to happen? I don't deserve this. God, are you sleeping on me? Now, let me remind you where these disciples just came from. They had just come from a revival, and Jesus was the evangelist. They probably at this revival are raising their hands and amen, and that's my boy. I'm part of the posse, and they're just getting with it, you know? And then when the storm hit, all of that excitement, all of that emotion, all of that confidence, all of those social media posts vanished because the storm caused them to forget the Word. Because they heard the Word, they just didn't apply what they heard. And folks, in your life, you're going to get hit. And sometimes you're going to get hit hard. Because again, both the wise man and the fool were hit by the storm. But the house of the wise man stood. Why? Because your foundation is going to determine your future. Your foundation is going to determine your future, and your foundation is the Word of God applied. Your foundation is putting what you've learned from this book, what you've heard from this pulpit, what you've experienced in biblical relationship with each other into practice. And this has been a value of Pastor Rick since we rescued him from Louisiana. Relationships, guys, are our secret weapon. And recently I saw a great example of this value as I watched in our church how we loved on one of our charter members. He's an 89-year-old African-American man. We call him Mr. Ben. And last week, his wife, Carolyn, passed out at work, ultimately ended up in ICU in critical condition. The prognosis was not good. And several members of our church burned up that highway between Pine Bluff and Little Rock so that we could sit, so that we could pray, so that we could cry with his family who had come in from all over the country to be with Miss Carolyn. And one day, Mr. Ben looked around this crowded hospital room and leaned over and whispered to one of our members of our church family. He said, "I never thought this would ever happen." Now, we thought he meant, because his wife was a good bit younger than him, he thought what would never happen was that she would go before he would. But then he leaned over to this woman and he said, "I never thought I'd see so many white people in the room loving on my wife." Now remember, this brother is 89 years old. He grew up in North Carolina. He's seen a lot of hate. He's seen a lot of division. He's experienced a lot of pain. But that day, he saw the Word of God applied. Right? Listen, it's not about the education. It's about the application. It's about using these hands and these feet to put what you learn into practice. Because you're going to get hit. And again, sometimes you're going to get hit hard. And you're going to need this word applied, that you're going to need this foundation to get you through that storm. But you're also going to need that word applied to help others through their storm. And a lot of people going through some storms right now. We're all getting hit. And some of us are getting hit pretty hard right now, aren't you? But no matter how many times that you get hit, if your foundation is rooted and grounded in this word without compromise, listen to me, you're going to come back. But you're not just going to come back like you were. You're going to come back perfected, confirmed, strengthened, and established in Jesus' name. Amen? How many of y'all need a comeback today? Y'all looking for a comeback? Y'all been beat up a little bit? Are the storms all over you? Let me ask you, fellas, again, which man are you? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, really. That's not what this is about. What I'm telling you is you don't need to feel guilty about the way that your foundation is right now, but you got to understand when you build it upon the Lord, if you don't build it upon God, you are robbing yourself of the blessings He has for you. All right? If you need some help, if you need a second chance, if you need a comeback, I want you to pray with me right now. Let's pray.